Good afternoon. My name is Fernando Lopez, and I'm here on behalf of Makiko, my wife. Makiko has been taking care of the Guatemalan mission. It's something that she decided after we came to Christ, and she wanted to do something for the people in the world. She wanted to share what she has here in Japan. And Guatemala was something that came up to her, and she decided to take over on that mission. And it hasn't been a lot of changes. He's the one in charge. She's the one in charge, and she does recycling here in Japan. For those that don't know yet, Makiko collects paper and cans and things, and they sell them and here in Japan, and sends the money back to this mission in Guatemala. And she went through an organization in the U.S. called Soleis, who started the orphanage in Guatemala. And just by God's work, it happened to be in my father's hometown. And they were looking for a land. And my father was looking forward to sell his land. And they ended to buying my father's land. So this mission turned to be more closer than we ever thought it was going to be. And the reports were to Makiko were through a missionary, a Christian missionary that was staying there in what they call the Casa del Niño in Guatemala. That's the name of the orphanage. But he was having heart problems, and he was off and on the mission. And finally, last year, he could not go anymore, and hasn't been anybody going from his church or anybody. There's no volunteer Christians to go to that particular mission. So Makiko's been having troubles getting information to what's going on in Guatemala. And my father has not internet connection whatsoever, so I can just sometimes call. And so what she knew was that there was 16 children, and still they keep 16 children in the house. They take care for them in elementary to high school. And the organization Soleis provides their needs for food and school and clothing. And they also have a program of training. So if any volunteers go to the Casa del Niño to train the community, they use the location and they teach them new businesses. And this was the report. They started a fish farm a couple years ago, and it seems to be working. But after the volunteer leaves, they have to take care of themselves. And it hasn't been that productive, but it's still working. They did a chicken farm also, which it worked for a while, but then now they go. It was to raise the chicken and sell them for food. Now they change it to eggs business, laying eggs. It seems to be more easier to take care and more profitable. My father had the land, and the land had fruit trees like mangoes, bananas, pineapples, and also grows some vegetables. And my father still helps in the take care of the farming, and they sell that for their own income, which is not so good. I found out that, you know, in Guatemala, when there is mango, everybody has mangoes. So when there's pineapple, everybody has pineapples. So it's not so like a good commodity when you're in a place where everybody has it. So so Makiko was wondering why they don't sell the mangoes, because everybody has. And but that's their situation. And and also there was a volunteer that went and built an oven for them. Now they have oven, they can bake the bread. And hopefully they can invest on the ingredients and make bread to sell. And the last project, which Makiko is asking for prayers, is for the administration of this program, was left in charge of 12 elders of the church. The organization, American organization, is not Christian, But the one, the locals is a Christian church is taking care of them, and so they need guidance to manage these donations. They come from different places, and how they report to each donator. So it's been difficult to Makiko to know what's going on and the progress in one project and different incomes that come in. So she doesn't get the full picture, and she's pretty upset about it. But I talk to my father a lot, and he tells me some part of it. But about 2 months ago, a member of the church who has his own ministry in Guatemala, there's villages in the mountains, very old villages, and they have no contact with the outside world, and they have no medicine, the government doesn't even count them. So he's a part of the church, and he started that ministry. He has internet. So he's my father's friend, and he became more friends through the Facebook. And then my father finally asked him 2 months ago to join in this project, Casa del Niño, so that he could be the channel to communicate with Makiko and us. So his name is Edgar Lopez, and he has his own ministry, but he will be part of the Casa del Niño to report us what's going on in the project and who's there and what are they doing. So he asked for prayers for himself, for that, and then for that unity on the administration, that all the projects, there are donations. It's an organization, seems like a world organization, and there are many projects coming to them, so they have to choose what to do and how to do it. So it's very difficult to administrate. So he's asking for prayer for the administration, for the directive. They call it the directive. It's 12 elders, and they need a lot of guidance to administrate this this project that's coming to them. And the last project is a well. They found water in the land, and it's good. In Guatemala, the water is no good. The tap water is no good, and so the well water is actually better. And they planning to bottle it and sell it. So they asking Makiko to support them in that project. And then Makiko is trying to work out how she will get the information of what's going on and who's in charge. And so pray for that. It's a water project. They already dig the well. They have the water. They just have to get a license, sanitary. License, and then they'll build the facility to purify the water and bottle it. And out of that, they can get profit, and hopefully, that's Makiko's prayer, that they will be self-sufficient and will help their children and encourage the children to find ways to be independent, not depend of foreign donations, which is not a good thing for the kids to see adults just receiving and receiving. What's Makiko's hope is that through this program, they receive many orphans. My father's house is in the border, about 5 kilometers in the border of Mexico and Guatemala. And there is a big problem in the area. It's the most populated state or it's called department in Guatemala, but it's like a state. And the biggest problem is that the people going to the United States, that's the last border. Once to get to Mexico, it gets more difficult to travel. But Guatemala is not so difficult. And many leave their children there and go to the United States. Or many children follow their parents all the way to Guatemala, but they cannot make it after Mexico. The thing is parallel 32 or some parallel to where the Americans control and nobody can travel after that. So the children get, when in Mexico, the Mexican authorities find somebody from, there is no Mexican, they just go to the border of Guatemala and put it next to the border and you go. and that's my father's town, about 5 kilometers away. So there's many children in the area. And so, but that's one problem. But another problem is that many people have been taking advantage of this and making organizations that claim to help these children, and administration is very difficult. So just pray for that this organization grow and they protect the children as they need. And also Edgar, the new administrator or the new contact, he asked for prayer for his wife. She just got sick with diabetes, and so he's going to have to take care of that part of his home. So he just took charge last month, but this month his wife had to go to the hospital with diabetes. So please pray for him. And also pray for the spiritual growth of the children. The church is about 300 meters from the orphanage, and they do take them on Sundays to Sunday school. So please pray for their growth and the faith of these 16 children, and then they'll be able to get more children. The organization in the United States is called Solace, and they provide about $45 for a child. So that's permanent. So the children are taken care physically. They have food. So they can get more children, but they need more help, volunteers. That's not included on the donation. So they require other people to help to increase their income so they can pay people to take care of children and locations. So, that's the prayer of Makiko. And please pray for Makiko, because she's really... when we became Christians, she said she thought that, you know, and she still thinks Japan is so wealthy, and she wants to share some of what she has received. And she wants to let people know. It's not just taking things and selling, but just to let them people why is she selling these used things. There are no use anymore here in Japan, but it can be something. So it's a witness to Japan, you know, for her to buy something that people don't care anymore and sell it and make money out of it. And hopefully she can witness to them and testify that she's doing it because she loves Christ and she wants the children not just to be physically taken care, but spiritual also. So please pray for this ministry, not just in Guatemala, but how Makiko works here in Japan and how she touches the lives of others. Because recently other people in Hiroshima that are doing recycle or are doing some missions in different countries are approaching her to work together so she can be a witness to them. Most of them are not Christian. They work helping Africa or Asia and Cambodia or Laos, and they get together and do the same thing, recycle, but without the gospel. So pray for that to be Makiko's witness, and continue praying for Guatemala. I'll do my best to report what is possible. They still don't. My father had a camera, but it was stolen, so he could take pictures of the children. So I ask you also for prayers for me. I'm going to go to Guatemala at the end of October, and I'll be there for 2 weeks. Plan to see my father. I'll go to the hometown and my mother. And also, my main objective was to see my auntie, who was the one who raised me. And I want to spend time with her. She's ill with cancer, so I don't think I'm going to have another opportunity to see her. And my brothers, if I can be a witness. I testified before my older brother came to Christ after I went to see my father in this mission. He was the one who drove me to the town. It's about 300 kilometers. And he drove me. He was the one who drove me from the city. And he was in the service when the pastor gave thanks for the projects. And my father, he was in the middle of us, my older brother. And the pastor gave the message. And at the end, he said, "I wonder where is my time," he said. when my time is coming. So we look at him, it's like, it's up to you. And about 2 years ago, he came to Christ. I still have two younger brothers and an older sister that did not know the Lord. So please pray for that. And pray for all my friends that are doing a lot of work for Christ in Guatemala that I'm going to go see. And especially for this mission, Guatemalan mission, that Makiko really put in her heart. So please pray for that.
We are going to sing a Filipino song, but there's a translation over there. So please just read. The message is very self-explanatory.
Hallelujah. Once more, let's say praise God for the Filipinos once for us. Woo! house will be a house of prayer for the nations. For the nations. Hallelujah. My people. Thank you. Thank you. All right, where are we now? We're in Japan. Okay. So we've had a report from Guatemala. Next up is Cambodia, and after that will be Africa, Rwanda. I'll be reporting on the Record family. For some of you who are familiar with them, that's Daryl, the husband, and Kayo, the wife, and their son, Benjamin. They're serving as missionaries in Cambodia. And they've got lots to report, but I'm just going to give the highlights from their update emails. They have a website from their missionary organization. And if you would like that information, it's available, and you could be signed up for the email updates as well. So whatever I share with you now is just directly off of their website. So let's go to the first picture. They recently had a political election in the country, and the results were highly contested, and so there was threats of violence and unrest from protests and gatherings. However, thanks to the Lord, nothing spilled over violently, and there has been no reports of major arrests or political or civil unrest. So praise God for that. This is a man named, I think it's Kawata, Tamura Arata. He's a teacher from Japan. He's a university professor of Chinese linguistics, and he visited their mission work for 2 weeks to teach at the Trinity Institute of Cambodia, a two-week course on Japanese for translation or evangelism in Japanese. But also he recorded a Japanese language track for a short video entitled Life, Creation, or Accident. And that's basically a video series on evangelism, providing proofs and arguments for the truth of the gospel. And he recorded that for the Japanese version of that. Okay, let's go to the next picture. So along with the person just previous, Mr. Tamura Arata, another group from Tokyo Chapel came and visited. There was a group of eight who visited their mission. And Tokyo Chapel is the official sending church of the official Japanese official sending church of the records. And eight people from that church visited for about 1 week and a half, 1.5 weeks, and doing various kinds of ministry. One of them was at night they would go to the downtown district and invite what's known as the beer girls to outreach centers where they can receive counseling and training. There's a ministry that they're a part of called Precious Women Ministries, where they try to train women and educate women and also counsel them because they're in an industry that's not good for them. And so they're trying to draw them out of that and into more legitimate kinds of business and also just counseling. And so some of the visiting people from the church participated in that. And they went to a Christian Cambodian school and did a puppet show for the children. That puppet show was made into a video, and that's available online as well. Okay, let's go to the next picture. This is an apologetics class. Apologetics is basically defending the faith through reasoning and logic and giving reasons why you believe in Christianity and why the Bible is true. And so Daryl has a specialty in that. And he has been asked by this theological institute, which was founded by Koreans many years ago. And there are 40 students, 28 are bachelors of theology, and 12 are masters of divinity students. And Daryl is providing training in apologetics so that when these students become pastors, not only will they have the biblical and theological equipping to teach God's people, but they will also have the facilities and the resources of reason and argumentation to defend the faith to non-Christians. And so that's what Daryl has been part of. Okay, so this is Daryl also teaching at the Presbyterian Theological Institute. Okay, let's go ahead. Next one. So TIC is the Trinity Institute of Cambodia. That is the Bible seminary that Daryl has helped to found. And recently they've had a Japanese class taught by Mr. Arata. And I'm not sure. Here it is. Let's see. In addition to teaching Japanese, Arata helped build networks and connections with Chinese Christians. This may develop into a Chinese language program at TIC, or even some training programs for missionaries from China on their way to other countries. Okay, next picture. TIC is also partnered with Asian Hope. Asian Hope is a organization that is training teachers for private Christian schools. However, because they are now connected with TIC, they can get accreditation so that teachers who are trained at Asian Hope will be able to get accreditation certification to be private or public school teachers. And so now TIC is trying to get into the public and the private schools all throughout Cambodia with teachers who have been trained in the foundations of biblical thinking and Christian thought. So basically, it's a way for Christianity to enter, faith to enter into the schooling system of Cambodia through trained teachers. And that is through this company called Asian Hope. Okay. So Daryl's wife, Kayo, is from Hiroshima, and that's our connection with them. And she is Japanese. So there are Japanese missionaries in Cambodia. However, if they are not fluent in English or not fluent in Khmer, they have difficulty. And they never have fellowship or Bible study or growth in their native language of Japanese. However, Kayo has been able to connect with many of them and a group of them, and so now they have started a once-a-month fellowship where they get together, much like our Filipino Bible study, to just worship and pray and study and grow and eat together in their native language for their growth and encouragement. And that's their Japanese fellowship. It may grow into a Japanese service someday, okay? Daryl is not just involved in writing, but he also likes to record. As you know, from past reports, he has recorded about 30 10-minute segments about Christianity, the Bible, foundations of biblical thought in a radio program. And now he has made those into CDs and then also would like to make them available in MP4, MP3 formats to distribute to Christians, especially new Christians. And so that's all what he's involved in there. So he's always working on that. He's in need of a new computer. He has one old computer, and he has named the computer Lazarus because oftentimes it dies, but then oftentimes it resurrects. So he believes that when God will give him a new one, it'll be time for Lazarus to finally give up the ghost. But also, praise God, they've been able to get a used iPad, a used iPod, and a few other iGadgets from generous Christians. So usually Kayo uses the iPod, or excuse me, the iPad for music ministry. Okay. Is that all of them? Okay, great. All right. So that's just the report from Cambodia. Also, they have a son, Benjamin, who's about the same age as our eldest, Kyohei, and he seems to be doing well. The report is he's doing a very good job being a kid. So praise the Lord for that. Okay. before Emma comes up, I just want to say a few words about that. As you know, we do Mission Sunday, and it has always been just the two countries, Cambodia and Guatemala. And one thing that I can boast about our church is that our church is generous. We never fail to give incredible amounts when the need arises. And every single time we have Mission Sunday, I open up and I count the money, and it's always like, God, you did it again. And I praise God for that because, well, anyway, I'll get into that later. But I'm just so happy that God has said, Chris, your church, this church has been faithful with the two countries. I'm going to give you one more country to give to. And Emmy is going to come up and share about Rwanda. And I just feel like, praise God, Lord, send us more countries, send us more needs, send us more people who need money, because our people have money. And we love to give. So Emma, would you come on up and tell us about Rwanda?
Hi, everyone. My name's Emma. I introduced myself before, but my name's Emma Trail, and I'm working as a staff member with Japan International Food for the Hungry. We're an international organization, and the Japan kind of branch of that started in the 80s, and it's been going on, has started and has been supported and grown by the Evangelistic Churches of Japan since then. To share a little bit of background, it started as an American organization and has a presence in, I think it's over 70 countries. The aim of the organization is to work amongst the poorest of the poor to bring, I guess, to really feed these people spiritually and physically. And the aim of our organization is to see a world with no hunger. So not, and we don't see that as just physical. We see it as a spiritual thing as well. So we want a world with no physical hunger and also no no, I mean, spiritual hunger is a good thing, but people who know Jesus, we really want to see them filled with the gospel as well. And the Japan organization in 2006 became independent, and now it's a very independent kind of, what was the word, like horizontal organization. So we're very, we like to work with local organizations overseas and encourage them to start their own projects, and we try and support them. And we're also doing a lot of work in Japan to mobilize people to realize about these issues of poverty and hunger and to do something about it. So that's kind of who we are. And you've got to excuse me because I've never done this presentation in English before. So my our office, just so you know, is above the CLC bookstore downtown. And so I'm in there, but part of my job is visiting churches and sharing about what we're doing. And I've never done it in English before, so my presentation is still half Japanese. So don't mind the mixture. But I'm just going to believe that English is my native language, and so I know what to say. So we're not going to talk about what is hunger, because I think you guys are all fine on that, but there's a few hunger statistics that we like to share with people. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm not a big maths person. I don't understand numbers. And my head is, my brain is kind of, it constitutes of words and pictures, and there is no space in there for numbers. And so if someone gives me a big number like 7 billion, I have no idea what that means. It just means nothing to me. But basically, we have a world population of 7 billion, out of which 1 in 7, so 1 billion people, apparently suffer from starvation. And the starvation is not just droughts or a famine. It's we also include the concept of not having enough food day to day to grow or to live. And so some people, there'll be kids who have one meal a day, but that's not enough to grow sufficiently. And so the kids will have physical deficiencies or not be able to study or play because of being so hungry. And so, and another big statistic is that actually 9 million people every year die of starvation. And so we really want to like drop, we want to see this number drop. A lot. And for me, what really got me, I was asked to interpret at the World Food Day event last year, and I really struggled with these numbers. And so I went home and I was like, God, why can't I understand numbers? You know. And so I made a little kind of sheet trying to teach myself how to do numbers. And at that point, I realized that this number, this 9 million, if you kind of like cut it down, split it down into each week, it's equivalent basically to the same amount of people as who were killed in the Hiroshima atomic bomb. And for me, this really broke my heart, because being in Hiroshima, I've heard so much and I've learned so much about the bomb and about what it, you know, how it just devastated the city and how many precious lives it took. And Hiroshima as a city is working so hard to not let that ever happen again. But to find out that actually all around the world, it's like the bomb is being dropped again every week. There's that many people losing their lives to this, like, it's like this kind of hidden enemy, this hunger. And to know that in our daily lives, we're actually connected with these people. So we're JFH, Japan International Food for the Hungry, is currently working on a project called Hunger Zero Africa. And the reason we chose Africa may be pretty obvious, but Africa is basically, it struggles with hunger the most in the world. So you could say it's the hungriest country in the world. So there's some statistics up there in Japanese, but basically the Sahara and southern area of Africa, in that area, one in every three people in the population is at starvation level. They're really struggling to get adequate food supplies. And then also Central East and North Africa has the highest rising hungry population in the world. So we want to work in Africa and aim for a world of absolutely no hunger. So some of the work that JFH does, we often do, well, we obviously do a lot of emergency relief when there are droughts, famines. We also did a lot of emergency relief in Sendai after the Tohoku disaster. And we also do a lot of food aid. But one thing we're really focusing on lately and... one thing we're really focusing on lately is helping the local people to develop by themselves. So we don't want to just go and build a big school and pay for all the staff and give them all the food they need, because we know that that just creates dependence and it trains the people to think that they can't do anything and that they can't get themselves out of this situation. So recently we're really focusing on these things called Vision of Community Seminars, and we're trying to train people to live like... in the kingdom of God, where you change and then you slowly see the community around you change. We want the people to see the resources they've been given, the gifts they've been given, the ability they have, and their own importance as creations created in God's likeness. So I'll just share a little bit specifically about a summer work camp we had in Rwanda this year. JFH runs these summer volunteer camps every year. So in summer, we'll take 10 days and we'll go to a developing country and live there and see what life's like and be involved in working with some of the local projects. And in Rwanda this year, we had a study and work visit, study and work camp. So we weren't just doing volunteer work, but part of the reason we went is to learn through the peacemaking work that has been done in Rwanda. So many of you may know, but in Rwanda, there was a huge genocide in 1994. Many of you may remember it on TV. I was 6 at the time, and I remember it was the first time I ever heard about Africa. And I just remember being like, "Mom, what is this? What's happening?" She's like, "Oh, that's Africa. It's, you know, it's really bad country," or something like that. But what is actually happening in Rwanda is that there's Christian organizations. The organization that we partner with, called REACH, which stands for Reconciliation, Evangelism, and Christian Healing, this organization came in after the genocide, and they're working with the local churches and through the local churches to provide healing and training and reconciliation and peacemaking, which is also now what's amazing is it's leading to development work. And so we're partnering with them, and one of the main reasons for our trip was to see the work being done to build peace in a country that was just so devastated by a genocide. So to go back, this is a map of Rwanda. It's a pretty small country. You can basically drive from north to south in about 6 or 7 hours. Very small, very different to your typical image of Africa. We didn't go on a safari, unfortunately. I kind of wanted to, but we didn't. And Rwanda is a very mountainous area. There's a lot of green. It's actually called the Land of 1,000 Hills because it's such a hilly country. Most of the produce is, there's avocados, bananas, and potatoes is the main things produced there. So as I said, the genocide happened in 1994. This was planned by the government, and the idea was to wipe out the whole Tutsi population, which is the minority group. They make up about 10% of the population. And so during the genocide, during over 100 days, 10% of the population, not all the Tutsis were wiped out, but what equated to 10% of the population were killed in a very horrible way. And so the government had organized this. They trained the civilians to become soldiers. And basically, a people who were once united were killing their neighbors. And one of the saddest things is that some of this genocide happened in churches. So up until 1994, if the Tutsi people ran to a church, they knew they would be saved. There were some kind of slightly more small-scale killings up until 1994. But until then, they were safe if they got to a church. But in 1994, the government worked with churches and to send soldiers to churches to kill the people who escaped there. So we visited this church where 5,000 people were massacred. It's kind of hard to explain how horrible it was. But I'm going to skip through this because we don't have a whole lot of time. But basically what's happening is that REACH is doing some amazing work reconciling the people groups. And people often ask me why Japan International Food for the Hungry is doing reconciliation and peacemaking work. And the main reason is because in Rwanda, the people, the survivors of the genocide are in such poverty because of what happened. So, and especially in the more rural villages, there may only be one or two or three survivors in a village. So they'll have lost their family, their house, their relatives, their friends, and now they're living in a very, very simple life, a very impoverished life, surrounded by basically the families of all the aggressors. And now the aggressors are the people who are involved in the genocide are coming out of prison and back into the communities. So they don't have the money to just say, okay, I'm going to move to another country. I'm going to get away from these guys. I'm going to go make a new life somewhere else. They can't do that. So if people don't help with reconciling the people groups, the country is not going to develop. The people are not going to be able to get out of the poverty cycle. And so REACH starts, they've started with seminars teaching about reconciliation, forgiveness through the Bible and also of the history of Rwanda. These seminars started as a way of finding healing for the survivors, but as the aggressors have come out of prison, they've used them as to be a place where they can start to meet again and start to have a relationship and rebuild relationship. And out of those, what is amazing that's happening is these things called unity groups. And they're small groups, and they started just out as hobbies. So they're mixed groups, so there'll be some aggressors, there'll be some survivors, there'll be people who fled the country, there's all sorts of religious backgrounds as well. But they come together to study the Bible and also to pursue a hobby. The idea is just to keep them together to start with, to keep the people gathering together and to make the reconciliation continue. But what's happened is that now it's actually starting to connect to independent development work. So the people who are coming together in these groups are starting to create projects. So they're saying, okay, now we've reconciled, how can we make our community better? How can we make our country better? How can we build peace and develop a steady income and develop our country? And so, for example, this choir group, they've written their own songs about reconciliation and about the gospel, and they have made a CD and have been selling the CD. And one of the people who's been helping that has been a Japanese missionary in that area. Another project, and this is quite a neat one, is a group of women are doing soap making. And so the soap making project also started from a Japanese girl, not a Christian, but she was in Rwanda through JICA. And she trained them in how to make soap, and the woman caught on to it, and they've been making it ever since. And so they use the soap to sell, to provide food for their families, to send their kids to school. And a really cool thing is that they use their income to help the other members of their group who are in more poverty than they are. And so, for example, if there's someone in their group who can't afford health insurance, the group will pay for the health insurance of that member. And to me, this was just amazing, that to see the way that they've come together out of such a dark history and the way they truly love each other like brothers and sisters. It's the group there. So that's basically Rwanda. Japan International Food for the Hungry is also supporting a school called Peace International School, and we'll be talking more about that at an event called World Food Day. Just briefly, as I have the opportunity, I'm going to pass out an English information booklet on Japan International Food for the Hungry and also a flyer for the World Food Day event. And the World Food Day event is coming up on the 6th of October. It'll be at the Women's University Chapel from 3 to 5 p.m. I'm sorry, the flyer's only in Japanese, but if you don't understand, let me know and I'll tell you the details. So if you could continue to pray for the work in Rwanda, especially that these unity groups just keep growing, and that really links to the development of their communities and spreading the gospel. The other thing, because I understand that most of Japan International Food for the Hungry's work has been solely with Japanese churches. I just want you guys to know that we exist. And we have an office above the CLC bookstore downtown. One of our neat projects that's up and coming for Hiroshima is that we're trying to actually start up an event-based fair trade cafe in the office. And so we're really looking for people who have a heart for that kind of ministry and want to be involved. We're looking for ways that we can use that not only to connect to helping out with issues of poverty around the world, but also to reach out to those suffering from spiritual hunger here in Japan. So we want it to be not only an overseas mission, but also a local mission. So we just really ask that you'll pray for the work of the Hiroshima office. And if you're interested, please let me know. There's so many ways you can be involved. We're hoping even to do things like language exchanges, event, so cafe night, music night, that kind of thing. If you're a handyman, we really need to do some renovations. So just let me know. You'll be my favorite person ever. So, yeah, thank you so much for inviting me to be here today. I'm sorry I talked a little bit longer than I planned. But, yeah, just thank you so much for your prayers and for your interest. And I hope that we can maintain a relationship from here on. So thank you, guys.
Thank you, Emma. What we're going to do next is give. And we're going to give two things. We're going to give our money, but not only that, we're going to give our prayers. So just listening and also reporting, I just feel moved to pray. And just before we pray, I want to direct your eyes to your bulletin, a really encouraging scripture is on the front. Just about giving. You may feel you have very little to give, but Jesus knows exactly how much that is. There was a story of the woman who had nothing. She had no husband. She had no son. And she had no money. And yet she gave what she didn't have. Jesus saw that, and her story is recorded for us not only in Mark, but also Luke. God honors the poor giver. Also, just the testimony by Etsuko-san at the beginning of the service reminded me of the story that you have in the middle of the inside of your bulletin about a woman who was photographed when she was a child, and the story of healing and redemption that God worked in her life. So, just an encouraging story, something to read on your way home. But I would like to invite you to get your money ready, but also to get your heart ready as well. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we have sung. We have listened to songs. We've heard testimonies. We've heard reports. Oh God, let us pray. Oh God, open up our hearts. Oh God, open up our wallets. Oh God, open up our hands. And Lord, as we give, that we would give from the heart, Lord. And that as we pray, that we would pray with all of our heart, oh God. First of all, Father, I'm thinking of Guatemala, the story that Fernando told of people trying to move to a better life in the north, but having to leave their children behind, and those children being found by authorities, literally being thrown away. And yet, Father, you've said that you will not leave us orphans. You are a friend of the fatherless. You are a husband to the widow. So God, hear their cries and hear our prayer for them on their behalf. Step in to their lives, O God. be a God of rescue and redemption. Father, let them walk into the right doors. Let them be welcomed into the right hands, not by people who will abuse them or use them, but by people who will receive them, will shelter them, will feed them. God, we pray for workers, volunteers, missionaries, teachers, foster fathers and mothers who will give of themselves for these orphans, God. Have mercy on us, O God. I pray for Fernando's father, whose land is being used for this orphanage, that, Lord, you will expand it, you will grow it, you will deepen it to be a refuge, God, to be a school, a business, homes, Lord God, and, Lord, for these children to grow up, not just physically, but, Lord, in the care and in the instruction of you and of your word. Oh, God, hear our prayers on their behalf. Provide for them, Lord God, whether it's the fish farm, the chicken farm, the eggs, the bakery, the water. Lord, let your hand be upon them. And, Lord, I know that you have mercy on those who are humble, Lord. Oh, how humble does it get, Lord God, to have lost your mother and father and to be alone in the world? Oh, God, would you be with them? Would you walk with them? Would you speak to them? Would you whisper to them? Would you reaffirm them, oh, God? Let them know that they are cared for and loved, that they're not unwanted or thrown away, but, Lord, you seek them out and you raise them up, Lord. I pray for them, Lord. We lift up our hearts, Lord, on their behalf. And then, Father, just as our resource goes toward them, Lord, Fernando mentioned volunteers or paid staff who need money. Lord God, we pray for your provision. We pray for Makiko, God, as she continues to work, that people's hearts would be pricked, that flames would be lit, Father God, so that people would not just see exchange of goods or money being sent, but Lord, their hearts would go out, Lord God, and they would cry out and say, where is God? What is he doing? And that you would answer them, Lord God. Hear our prayers on their behalf. We pray for Makiko, for you to strengthen her, for you to encourage her, help her not to be discouraged, but Lord, help her to continue to be encouraged in what she's doing, Lord. Continue to expand and broaden and deepen her vision for what's going on. We thank you for Edgar, who has allowed the use of his computer to be a communication between us and them. And Father, we pray for his wife, who is in diabetes, Lord, who has been struck with that. But Father, we pray that you would heal her, you would touch her, that you would allow the diabetes to be used by you to be a tool of ministry, to be a show of victory, Lord, however you might do it, Lord God. But we pray for her. We pray for Edgar that his hand would be strong, his feet would be strong, Lord, to care for his wife and for the ministry that you have for him, Lord. Have mercy on them, Lord God. This is our prayer. Father, we lift up Cambodia. Lord, as I remember, someone told me, a very dark land, literally. There's no lights. There's no electricity. There's darkness, both physically and also spiritually, covered by deception and half-truths. But Lord, you've sent Daryl, you've sent Kyle, you've sent other ministries, missionaries, Asian Hope, TIC, Presbyterian Theological Institute, so many people who want to bring light to truth, to disseminate the darkness and the deception. Father God, we pray that you will have mercy on Cambodia, that you will use Daryl, his resources, his videos, the podcasts, the recordings, the DVDs, the books, the translations, all of that, Lord God. We pray for these pastors who are being trained, these 40 students in seminary, who will become pastors and leaders. We pray for them, Lord, that you would protect them, you would guide them, that you would lead them, Lord God, to the people that you have called for your glory. And we ask, Lord God, that they would be faithful in every way, that their vision would be strong and secure, that their knowledge of your word would grow deep, Lord God. We pray for the Cambodian Christians, Father. We ask that you would strengthen them, that they would be encouraged to meet daily, to grow in your word, to grow in prayer, to grow in fellowship. We pray for those missionaries out there, God, who are on the front line, who are suffering from attacks from thieves, from government, from neighbors, from spiritual attacks, from the enemy, from authorities and powers. Heavenly Father, strengthen your people. Strengthen your harvesters, oh God. Some of them are sick with dengue fever. Some of them have colds. Some of them are having problems with their digestive system. Oh God, have mercy. Touch their bodies and heal them and let them go back to work, Lord God. We pray, Father, that you would continue to protect and provide for the Record family. We thank you that they have this opportunity coming up this next month to go home for Thanksgiving and to be home for Christmas. We pray for good rest and good fellowship when they return. Father God, we turn our thoughts to Rwanda, to the report that Emma gave about reconciliation, about the Hutus and the Tutsis, about those who have been victims and those who have been the attackers. And Father, people living simple lives, people unable to move, people barely able to subsist, 1 in 7 literally dying of hunger. And Father, we ask for your hand of mercy. We ask for more Emmas. We ask for more visionaries. We ask for more translators. We ask for more teaching programs. We ask for more programs like REACH, Reconciliation, Evangelism, and Christian Healing. Oh God, we pray for these hobbies that unite, these unity groups, that truly, Lord God, you would break down barriers, that forgiveness and healing will come through the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name, Lord. That as Christ is glorified and as the gospel is preached and as people come and submit themselves to the truth of the gospel, they will look to their right, to their left, and see no more enemy, no more bitterness, but Lord, as Etzko testified, sour situations into sweetness, God. We pray, God, that you would move by your Spirit in power, in a great way, in the government, in the local villages, in the communities, Lord God. And have mercy on Rwanda, Lord Jesus. We pray for the event that's coming up on October 6th. We trust that you will move in the hearts of the rich on behalf of the hearts of the poor. And we pray for Emma's work up there above CLC. So much work to be done. And we thank you, Lord. The harvest is ripe. The harvest is ripe. We just ask for more workers, Lord God. And we'll thank you. We glorify you. We have our hope in you. You've saved us. You've transformed us. You've made the poor rich. You have made the sick well. You have made the blind being able to see. You have made the lame healthy again. You have done great things, and we rejoice in the God of our salvation. And we lift up our arms and our hands. We lift up our hearts, our tears to you. We know that you hear us, and we thank you and we praise you, God, that you are not silent, that you are not far away, but you hear us, Lord God. You speak to us, you whisper to us, and you lead us, you guide us. You are so good. You are so good. And out of your goodness, we give out of gratitude. And so, Lord, would you accept our offering, and would you use it as we divide it between these three countries, these three peoples? Oh, we're so thankful that you've provided for all of our needs in this church. Not one yen given today will go towards the pastors or to this building. Every single yen will go to these ministries. And we're thankful for that, God. Our victory is in Jesus Christ. We're thankful to you, and Lord, would you use this money however you will. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to sing. Yes, Adam and Elizabeth, we're going to lead us in a song, and we're just going to pass around the basket, and would invite you to give. And then we'll close our service in song as well.
Father, we love you, we worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify. Glorify thy name in all.